Can Croft conjure up some magic about its king? This is the Croft Preview.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We're back after a summer break.
We never went away.
We didn't. If you haven't already, go and catch up on some of the videos and the podcasts that we've released over that summer period. But we're back into the mainstream now. We're back into the business end of the season, where we're going to find out what's going to be decided by the end of the year. And we're going to start at Croft.
Ingram or Sutton will win the championship.
Yes,
that has been decided already. Yes, there's been a little bit of news in the summer break, so we'll just cover off a little bit of that now. The regulations of 2027 have been announced in sort of an overall package. When more information comes out, we'll do a more in-depth deep dive into these. But the headlines are, from 2027, the touring cars can run any version of a model that is, as long as the brand is on sale in the UK. As it currently stands, to run a car on the touring cars, that model must be on sale in the UK, i.e. you have to be able to go to a dealership and ask to buy that car. That's going to change from 27, as long as the brand is in the UK. For example, Honda, I think, is it the Elanga they have that abroad? Somebody commented on our Facebook post.
There's lots of different ones out there, and it really does open up the possibilities for teams now to go out and almost cherry pick what car they want and think, yeah, this is going to be the right car for this series to take us to the top of the grid.
Added to that, there will no longer be the need for the engine to be supplied by either Toyota or by the brand supplier. So, for example, Virtue could look to run a Hyundai with a BMW engine, potentially. I mean, that's a bad example because they wouldn't want to.
We could get some mental combinations, really.
It'll be
interesting to see.
I think what we'll end up seeing is a move towards Formula One, whether we like it or not, where we have one or two established teams and we have customer teams of that, where they'll buy the engines from and run them in their own cars. But we'll have to see. That's how I see, or where I see it heading personally.
Yeah, I do wonder whether we are just going to have like a set amount of engine suppliers and then people go, right, I want to run this chassis, and everything kind of will fit in together in sort of a homologation of how it all fits into that car, but obviously different power outputs, different chassis and different aerodynamics as well. We may see a more aerodynamic style car as well.
Yeah, there's lots to unpack here, but obviously we'll look into that more once we get closer to the regulations coming in, and when there's a little bit more information on them as well. We've also seen some quite sad news in terms of One Motorsport. They've announced that they're sort of owner Steve Dubman is not particularly well at the minute, and as such they are missing both Croft and Knock Hill, which is a real shame. There's also potential rumours, they are only rumours, of money issues there, because Stephen Jelly has left the One Motorsport outfit and is going to be replacing Hall over at Unlimited Motorsport for the rest of the season, which is a really odd move.
I was going to say, what are your instant thoughts about that? Because when I saw that released, I was like, okay, something weird's going on here, especially behind the scenes.
My instant thoughts are exactly that. There's problems behind the scenes at One Motorsport. Yeah. That's my instant reaction, because it's a backward step, in my opinion, because 1R have been better overall this season. And Jelly's only just really got learning nailed down in that car, and now he's got to go learn a brand new car, Harper, for a season. I don't think you make that move unless there are bigger problems at play, put it that way.
Yeah, it was interesting in the statement that he put out as a result of moving across to Unlimited Motorsport, in the fact that he said it came as a complete surprise to him, which makes me wonder as to whether his manager's gone, right, I've got a brilliant opportunity for you, Unlimited, to come in and want you to replace. But he's also thankful for being given the opportunity at very short notice.
I think,
which to me suggests there are more issues going on behind the scenes at One Motorsport than maybe have necessarily been alluded to currently.
Someone's seen an opportunistic deal to get the seat filled at Unlimited by a fairly senior driver at fairly short notice, and I think that's where it comes from. And of course, we've seen another driver change in the summer as well over at Toyota. We've had confirmation who's taken over that seat.
So obviously we had another driver move on and not be able to fulfill the rest of the season. We had Leslie come in at Alton Park, and he made a good effort of it. Yeah, but we knew that he was going to go on and pretty much continue the rest of the TCR season that he'd been competing in. So now we've got this youngster in Buxton. There were a couple of rumours of different drivers testing over the mid-season period for Toyota, but he looks like he's the one that's come out on top, and as far as we know, he's going to be the driver that fills that seat for the rest of the season, obviously with the regulations in place. If he drops by the wayside, then I don't think anyone else can actually fulfill that seat. So hopefully he's there for the next five rounds and we'll be able to learn about him as a driver, because he very much comes in as an unknown. Mm-hmm. But what an opportunity.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. We've potentially covered a little bit of this on a video we've worked on in the summer break about Toyota and their motorsport program. It's not, I mean, to me, it's, here's a fire, let's add some petrol onto this fire by giving a rookie a shot. I don't know. It might be a masterstroke and it turns out brilliant. I'm doubtful, if I'm being brutally honest, but we've got to give him a chance and see how he gets on. I think as you sort of allude to there, that the real question is going to be, can he compete the five rounds? Because if he can't, then it's no use to anybody, including himself.
No. And if you haven't already, 2 days ago, we had that sort of like mini documentary come out on Toyota. And it will be.
Well, it didn't come out 2 days ago, then, did it?
It's out tonight.
Oh, it's out tonight. Oh, okay, cool.
So, yeah, that was out on Tuesday. Go and watch that if you haven't already. We take you through all the different realms of motorsport that Toyota have been involved in and see how much success they've had and whether they could have possibly predicted the issues that they're having this season. But, yeah.
Right, well, into the here and now then.
It is
time for Croft. It's lights out and away we go, as another Croft would say. Croft then, 16 corners, 2.13 miles, debuted in 1968. It is my favourite circuit on the calendar. Mm-hmm. The reason I like it, for as I say every year, is it's got absolutely everything. It's got a mixture of fast corners, slow corners, straights. And it's basically a driver's technical track where if you're designing a track to test every part of a driver, this is it.
There's a good amount of overtaking spots as well at Croft. There's, mm-hmm. as you say, the nice long straights into heavy braking zones makes for good overtaking. But you can also get side-by-side racing, which is something that we struggled a little bit more for at Alton Park. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
And the back of the circuit is fast.
It's very fast.
It's very fast. And it only takes a little bit of contact to react to result in big...
Or water
to result in big impact. Obviously, the famously, you had the Croft... qualifying from, must be nearly 10 years ago, if not exact 10 years ago, where we had big smash-ups down there. Last year, Jake Hill got put into a barrier by Chilton, I believe, from memory serves me right. We've seen so many cars just get unsettled going through there by running side-by-side. Obviously, Bobby Thompson had a big crash there.
Massive crash.
Not too long ago. So it's a circuit that, for me, A, it brings good side-by-side fast racing, but it also brings contact. It also brings a little skirmish or two. And let's be honest, most fans, myself included, like a little skirmish or two, as long as nobody gets too badly hurt. Of course, it was Alton Park, I was going to say. Lloyd had that big crash, but it was at Alton Park. He then bounced back at Croft by taking two wins. And of course, he needs a good weekend this weekend, as he is also another driver that is struggling with sponsorship in the summer break, it would appear, with one sponsor pulling out at short notice.
Yeah, it does sound from the movement on social media on his side that he's had lots of offers on the table and he's been getting back to a lot of representatives and stuff. So we're hoping that he's still able to have the budget to finish the rest of the season. But yeah, if you have the ability out there to go and help him along, he's a driver that probably deserves to be on the grid and does try his absolute hardest.
So then, let's do the usual. Has Sam done his prep? Would you like to hazard a guess at who holds the qualifying lap record round the Croft circuit?
It's typically a BMW circuit, but I'm not going to go BMW.
Interesting.
I'm going to go Napa.
Okay.
Sutton?
No.
Okay.
Tom Chilton in 2024. This one surprised me as well, I have to say. Okay. Yeah, he set a 1 minute 21:06 last year. That surprised me as well, I have to say. Race, and this one surprised me, but only because of the year. So that gives you a potential slight help, maybe.
So it wasn't last year then?
No.
2020.
Yes, it was 2020.
Was
it? Which is obviously 4 years ago and before the hybrid elite speed era, allegedly. So
was it a Honda?
It wasn't.
Okay, go on.
It was the King of Croft himself, Colin Turkington, in a 1 minute 21:08, and that was set in 2020.
We'll probably see those beating this weekend as long as the weather holds off.
Well, it's not due to, but I'll get to that later on. Looking back at last year, then, race one was won by Colin Turkington with Tom Ingram and Camish in the podium playing positions. Then race two, we had the silly tyre rule where the top three had to change tyres to the hardest one available. And that saw Cook, Huff and Rowbottom make up the podium. And then race three, Tom Chilton won from Camish from Ingram. So fairly jumbled up order last year, which was good.
Yeah, and we tend to say that this is a BMW-orientated track, but I don't think Hill did particularly well here last year, did he?
I haven't bothered even looking into it, because I've only done who might be in the title contending places, as I normally do. So just to quickly run through, though, Sutton last year got a fourth, a fifth, and a fourth. Ingram a second, a fourth, and a third. Camish a third, a sixth, and a second. Rowbottom a tenth, a third, and eighth. And a year before that, Sutton had a second, a first, and a retirement. Ingram had a sixth, a fourth, a second. Camish had a 1-2-4, and Rowbottom had a 3-3-5. So actually, it is quite a Napa track in recent periods, but not necessarily a Sutton one.
No. It's difficult to look past him, though, considering the lead that he's got at the top of the championship. Obviously, we know already that him and Ingram are well out in front of those two Napa drivers that are chasing.
But this is a track that you've earmarked as a Hyundai track.
Yeah, I just kind of have this inkling that Hyundai are going to go well here this weekend.
I agree. This is a sort of circuit I think their engine will absolutely...
Yes, definitely.
...carry them through, as it were. In terms of the standings, as you say, there is close at the top with Sutton on 2-3-3 and Ingram on 2-2-3. Even I can tell that's only a 10-point gap. And that, of course, can swing very quickly over the weekend, particularly if Ingram can have a strong weekend. And as you've said and alluded to in other podcasts, if you look at the second half of the season... While Sutton is good at every track, most of the tracks we are going to are probably suited towards the Hyundai more.
Yeah, there are going to be other drivers a little further down the grid. Ones that I'm looking out for in particular, Smiley has been doing very well recently. Did very well at Alton Park. And being in that Hyundai, we know how strong that car is. We could see a really good weekend from him. And on the flip side of that, we could also see a really good weekend from Lloyd.
Yep,
agreed. It's a circuit that he loves. He goes really well in the Hyundai here, and as you said, has taken two victories here in that car. So could we actually see him have a better weekend than Smiley this time out?
No, I'm more impressed with Smiley this year than I am Lloyd. I think that while some bad luck has also gone Lloyd's way, I always think sometimes you make your luck, and I think Lloyd has made more mistakes this season than Smiley has, and I think Smiley is the more consistent. They're both driving to a very good standard, they're both having very good seasons. But I think when you look at the driver grades and looked where they were in the championship, etc., that gap isn't all just down to luck.
No.
That gap is also down to the fact that Smiley is week in, week out putting in just better performances. So I don't think that can be understated.
We've also always said that this is a fairly good BMW stronghold, but BMW have been struggling this season.
They have.
And I don't think we're going to see a change in that this weekend. And you'll probably see that with my predictions at the very least. I could see Hill, Rainford and De Leon all struggling, and Moffitt being where Moffitt's been for most of this season, low end of the top 10 into the early teens.
I think they can battle a little bit close to the front this weekend without challenging too much for race wins.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to see a BMW winner unless there's a reverse grid at play in race 3, etc., etc. I do think that it's a circuit where they do generally go well. And there are, whether they're down on power or not, there are some big traction zones for the rear-wheel drive car, particularly the hairpin as you come onto the start-finish straight. That is a big traction zone for the BMW to set itself up for the next lap. There's also, as I look to the little Croft outline behind me, there's the other hairpin into the chicane as you go to the back of the circuit. So there are some good slots here where the BMW should have a little bit of an edge to its competitors if it's able to go wheel to wheel in corners. So I don't think we're going to see sort of Colin Turkin of old winning both races and doing really well in race 3, but I do think this could be a weekend where they are better. And if they're not, then I think you just tear this whole season up and put it in the bin, because if they can't get a result here, I'm looking at where else they're going. Where are we going left that's got big traction zones that should suit them? There isn't really anywhere left on the calendar. This is the last one for me.
The only place will be, and that depends on the weather again, is Brands right at the end of the season, and by then it's already too late.
But it's a longer circuit where the Hyundai engine power, I think, then puts it at the best edge over the BMW. So... yeah, I think another one to just quickly mention for this weekend as well. I mentioned it there of who got results when last year, etc. Toyota obviously got a win and a podium last year with Cook and Huff.
Yeah.
They've not had a great time of it this year, but you're only as good as your last race, as people say. And the last race for Toyota was a win. And it was a win for Gordon Shedden in the difficult conditions at Alton Park. I know I've, in particular, have slightly downgraded that because of the conditions being the leveler, but... the fact remains, they have got a win on the board. maybe that could be the springboard for further success. Your face suggests that you don't fully buy into that, and I have to say I don't believe fully what I'm selling either. But potentially something to build on.
I'd be surprised if we see a Toyota get inside the top eight this weekend.
I mean, given one of your predictions, you're very countering yourself. But yeah, I'm not suggesting we're going to see a Toyota win a race. No. And again, I think we touched on this when we did the Toyota deep dive. Success isn't just winning a race or a championship, because only one person can win a race or a championship. Success is a season as a whole, being able to battle, being able to hold your own with the front runners, and be able to disrupt the top order now and again, or more often than not. And obviously this season has not seen any of that from Toyota at all. But yeah, just to be clear, a good weekend doesn't mean winning all three races. A good weekend means battling, being on the pace, and being able to, move forward as a team and winning points in the various teams' championships and Jack Sears' championships that are all competing in.
Being better than they have been so far, I think, is going to be key and critical towards not just this weekend, but for the rest of the season going forward as well.
Okay, before we get on to some predictions, would you like some good news? The legends are here this weekend.
Oh, yes.
We have only got 9 races in total, though, including 3 of the touring cars. So we've only got 6 support races this weekend.
Okay.
So we've got legends, we've got Porsche Carrera Cup Great Britain.
Sort of glad we're not going, and it will be a social weekend.
Yep. And we've only got 1 mini race as well on the Sunday.
Oh.
So race times is 12:10 for the touring car race. That is the first race of the day.
Yep.
Slight surprise it's that late. I don't think Croft had a curfew. I could be wrong, but I don't remember being that late in the past for the first race of the day completely.
That's true.
Then we've got the next race at 2:30, and we've got the final race at 5:10, and they are putting the legends on as the final race of the day after the touring cars. Although, to be fair, getting in and out of Croft, in my experience, has been pretty good on the whole.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, especially the last time that we went.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit disappointed. I know people sort of make this mocking, people only want to talk about support races. 9 races across a day, for me, isn't good enough. I'm sorry, that's just not good enough.
9 races across an afternoon, I can sort of understand. Yeah,
but why?
I know.
Racing starts at 9. apart from Alton Park, which we know because of the... Yeah. Fine. But I don't remember this... Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't remember this being the case at Croft in the past.
One spanner that I would put into the works is I've got the forecast in front of me.
Yeah, but we said this last time.
Saturday...
Yeah, Alton Park was going to be the hottest day of the year, and it rained.
Saturday looks lovely.
Cloudy.
Qualifying should be dry but cloudy. However, there seems to be quite a decent amount of rain forecast for Sunday.
Which means it's going to be hot.
Which could throw an extra spanner into the works and make it all that much more interesting, I think.
Oh, I completely agree. And as somebody that's been to Crofts a couple of times, just a few tips to anybody that's going, maybe for the first time, take a brolly, because if it's hot or wet, you're going to need one. There is very little shelter, if any, at Croft.
Yeah, agreed.
There's loads of places to stand and watch the races from, and it's a great circuit to get a real good vision of different parts of the track, but there is no shelter. And it's a very wide, open place, not really surrounded by trees, where you are as a spectator. Obviously, at Orton Park, there's a fair bit of tree coverage and parts of the circuit. You haven't got that at Croft, so make sure you take a brolly, raincoat, sun cream, all of that, because who knows what sort of day it's going to be there. And it is a very windy track as well, so even if it's cold, be prepared for windburn. So just make sure you take precautions in that sense as well.
Any other public service announcements before we get into some predictions?
No, I don't think so. Let's get into some predictions after this break. If you're like us, you probably love all forms of motorsport, and it can be very difficult to keep on top of it. F1 is about, there's still Formula E, there's touring cars, there is so much to get involved in. How do you make sure you don't miss it all?
Make sure that you subscribe down below if you're on YouTube or on all podcast platforms or on all social media as well. And we've been loving the discussions that we've had over the news stories that have broken over the mid-season break. So if you haven't already, go and like and follow us on there as well. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the places. And we'll keep you up to date with all going on in the British touring cars.
Yeah, and in this Elon Muskified world, algorithms count an awful lot more than they used to. So even if you're just commenting on our Spotify posts or a YouTube post with a full stop, it really helps the algorithm. So if you enjoy a video, if you enjoy a podcast, just drop any form of comment on there. I like cheese. I don't like cheese. Where do you stand on Brie? Any of that is helpful.
Sam for president.
Yeah, that seems to have worked. You know? And who knows, in this world, it might just happen. But yeah, please make sure you like, subscribe, and just drop a comment where you can.
Right then, let's get into our predictions.
Yes.
As you may or may not already know, we go through our predictions. We have a pole position. We have three race winners, if we think there are going to be three different race mm-hmm. winners. We predict a Jack Sears winner for the weekend. And then we have general predictions as well, along with one circuit-specific one.
Yep, you currently lead, even, 14-12. So it's nice and close as we go into the second half of the season. There's still plenty of points on offer. And we'll start with who we think will be pole position for Sunday's first race.
See, when I made my prediction, we make our predictions completely separate, yep. by the way, as well. And then we come together a few minutes before we start recording and we go, right, these are our predictions, just to keep it a bit more interesting.
And to make sure we don't veto each other's, because otherwise exactly. you'd have a car finishes a race. We do try and make sure that we have a little bit of sporting integrity.
I thought I was going a little bit bold with my prediction for qualifying, and then I've heard yours. So I'm feeling a lot more comfortable about okay. my predictions this weekend okay. now. I've gone for Senna Proctor for pole position.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know why you think mine's that bold, because I've gone for Adam Morgan, both in the same car,
yeah.
both got similar boost capabilities. I think that Ingram will be fast, but I think the boost will matter round here because there is some of the long straights, etc.
It does feel like more recently the boost hasn't mattered to Ingram. And
I agree.
Pluck one out and go, yeah, that's pole.
But I do wonder if a circuit like this where there's less time to be made up in the corners, because most of them are quite slow corners anyway.
Yeah.
I think the time we've made up through the speed traps on the three straights effectively. Yeah. And I do think that could be where a Morgan or a Proctor could well take the pole. And that Hyundai engine is just a monster.
Do you back him to take a race win then?
Morgan?
Yes.
No.
Oh, okay. So I'm putting my eggs in a basket here. I've gone for Proctor for a race win.
Okay. As have I.
Along with Ingram and Sutton, because I just feel that they're just inevitable this season. And it's, yes, a little bit of a safe choice.
That's the equivalent of having a chance to take out the 170 and instead set yourself up to the 87 double 40. The crowd are booing.
Yeah.
Rubbish. I've gone for Ingram.
Oh, no, Ingram as well. There we go.
Camish.
Okay.
Rather than Sutton. And I've also gone for Proctor. I think in my mind as well, Proctor seems a race three shoe-in for me, because I think he'll finish around about anywhere between 6th and 10th. In so that seems where he's come into the season at, which is really good in its own right. I think he'll be rewarded this weekend with a reverse grid.
Yeah, I just think sort of like possibly that time across that mid-season break, got a little bit of testing in the car, and we know that he's been quick in the car already. And having that little bit of extra boost, I think will just take him the extra hill. And yeah. I think he might even take a race one win.
Fair enough. Well, if he gets pole, you'd argue that.
And I hope so.
In terms of Jack Sears, again, for someone that bashed BMW throughout the rest of the preview, you've gone for a BMW, which is very interesting.
It's because every time I try to back Osborne and go, right, he's going to do it this weekend, he really lets me down. So Osborne's going to win because I've gone for Rainford.
I go for De Leon, which means James Dorling, congratulations on the Jack Sears this weekend. No, I think, as I said in the preview, I think it is going to be a BMW suit. If they're not winning all three by a long chalk, I think they'll at least be competitive this weekend, because I think the track lends itself to that.
Possibly.
I mean, you must somewhat agree, because you've gone for Rainford. But...
yes, I know.
Okay, in terms of general predictions then, this is the most difficult one to explain, I think, so I'll go first.
Okay.
Harvey will mention King of Croft during the commentary. Now, this commentary period will start from the moment they hand over to them on the formation lap. So the moment they go from either from Steve's replacement to them talking through the formation lap to the point where they're finished taking you through the point, the final grid position. So the point they hand back at or go to a break.
Okay. So once they've read through the final standings.
Yep.
At the end of that race, and that screen cuts to
they either chuck to Louise to go and interview somebody in the pit lane, or they chuck to a break. That's where it ends.
I'm glad we're clear on those guidelines.
Okay, so if he says it in the studio, it doesn't count. He's got to say it in the commentary at some point. And it has to be the words King of Croft. It can't just be Colin Turton goes well here. It'd have to be, of course, the King of Croft is missing or something along those lines.
Right, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm going to go for something a little more simple.
Yeah, I mean, the rest are easy. I mean,
I don't think we're going to see a BMW on a podium this weekend.
Outright podium,
any BMW.
Okay, again, for clarity, because there are anal people out there like myself.
1-3 in the race, podium.
Okay, so if somebody won a Jack Sears and stood on a podium, that doesn't count.
No,
that's fine.
It is the 1-3 finishers in the race.
That's absolutely fine. These things are helpful when we come to argue at the end of the season. This is, in case people wonder, this man once set up to 3 a.m. in the morning to work out how he could win a football predictions league based on the fact he missed a week in predictions. So we have to be careful.
You were also a trainee lawyer as well, so you like to sneak it in there where you possibly can.
And there's no answer to that, so we'll move on to I think there will be a BMW podium.
Ooh.
But it won't be Hill.
Okay.
Again, that's an outright podium, doesn't count for Jack Sears. I think there'll be a BMW podium. I think Rainford's going to sneak a podium this weekend.
Fair enough. I feel like I'm going a bit all in on Proctor.
Yeah, I mean, have you got shares in him? Because this is unbelievable.
Hopefully. I'm going to go for Proctor to outscore Camish this weekend.
That is unbelievably bold. Given that if you rewind back to what I gave at the start of the show, the recent results here, Camish has gone better than almost anybody here.
Yes.
That's a very bold prediction.
I'm going to love it when that comes in at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening.
I mean, obviously, if Camish gets caught up in something, then that makes it more likely. Yeah. But I think that is very brave.
I think it would only take one non-finish, because I think he's shown consistency so far in the 6 rounds that he's raced. He's finished every single race, and he's finished every single race inside the top 10.
So he's due a bad one.
Yeah.
Okay, good. My final prediction is that I'm going to go for Ingram and Morgan. I'm going to a little bit all in on Morgan this weekend. We'll outscore Napa combined. So those two will outscore the 4 of Napa.
Wow. Okay. You know Napa go well here.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I see skirmishes. I see a non-finish for a Napa this weekend. I don't know. I've just got a feeling in the back of my mind this weekend might play a really big role in the championship. It's the sort of track where things can happen. I think where else are we going, knock it aside, there's not many tracks that are coming up, in my opinion, where things happen. Things happen at Croft.
Okay. Let us know your thoughts on that one, because I think that's a bit out there.
It is out there, and it's the most unlikely of the three.
Yes,
but things don't happen at Silverstone. Nothing happens at Silverstone.
True. My final one is I've gone for at least 2 Toyotas to score points in each race. So that includes fastest laps.
Oh, it does
as well.
Include fastest lap, okay.
Yeah, or finishing within the points positions, or even leading a lap.
Well, there are 2 less cars this weekend, so there is a possibility.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping for, because I don't think it's happened many times this season.
And all 3 races is balmy, because again, it just takes
I know.
Wow, okay. And then every weekend we do a track-specific one. I'm going to put the call out now early. We go to Knock Hill after this one. If you've got any suggestions for what we should do for Knock Hill, comment them in our YouTube or on our Spotify or on our Facebook, etc., etc.
Or drop us a private message as well.
Yeah, we'll do that on Facebook. No, do that on Instagram, because the Facebook ones don't show up as well.
No.
And I have to, on Instagram, if it takes a while, we get a lot of spam about, you know, wanting to meet various profiles and become watch entrepreneurs and stuff like that. So if we don't get through to your message on Instagram, there's a lot to wade through. But yeah, this weekend we're going to go for chicane cuts, which is the first sort of complex as a chicane.
Yeah, so more specifically, the chicane that comes out onto that back straight, the long one down before the right-hander, because a lot of drivers, if they get bunched up through that first part, will then cut across as like an escape.
What happens if you get spun and you spin across it and rejoin? Does that count as a cut?
I think so.
That's fine. Again, we have to have these.
We'll count these up as we watch the race on Sunday.
Yep.
And we've got to agree on it, basically.
Yep. It's 3 points if you're dead on, and then it's 1 point whoever gets the closest. I've gone for 13.
I've gone for 9.
Yeah, it's one of those where if an incident happens, somebody gets spun, that the whole field sort of shoot through it. And,
God, could you imagine an accident happening and they all have to cut past under a safety car.
I mean, I would win by default one round of the safety car. So yeah, I think that pretty much sums up Croft. We're not going this weekend. We've been in the past. It's we always have a long circuit which we sort of put on rotation. This year it was Alton Park for us. Next year we've all
Thruxton.
Hope it'll be Thruxton, which would be nice. And then we'll have completed the touring car calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'd probably be time to think about going back to Knock Hill. But anyway, that's all for another day. It's my turn to host, so I look forward to having you here on Sunday.
What's for lunch?
Food.
Lovely.
I mean, do you have any dietary requirements? No. Okay, cool.
No, I like food.
Salad, a nice chicken Caesar salad it is. So yeah, we'll be watching on the sofa on Sunday. I'm very much looking forward to a good weekend of racing.
Yeah, if you want to message us through the races as well and get our feedback, drop it on our Instagram or Facebook, as we've already mentioned, and we'll try and reply to you as we watch as well. But yeah, looking forward to the entertainment this weekend. Hopefully the weather might play something, some interesting part in it, and we could get a few wild races.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again on the review.
Bye-bye.